Well, it's really good to see you all here today. Everybody that's here. Well, we've been on this path last couple of weeks. Path took us from Jerusalem over to a garden, and the garden had some prayer time in it, and it had some betrayal in it. But then the path took us out of that garden and brought us over to the cross. And then after the cross, we followed the same path over to the tomb where Jesus died and rose again. But it doesn't leave us there at the tomb. That's not where the path ended. It keeps going. And it's going to continue, and it's going to lead us this time in a destination of faith. And so this morning's message is titled, What Now? And each step of faith requires a deeper and deeper belief in Jesus. So let's stroll away from that grave garden because there's no one there anymore. It's empty. Open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke this morning. We're going to be in chapter 24. And I'm going to read a couple of verses, 13 and 14, in chapter 24 of Luke. Now behold, two of them, we're talking about disciples, were traveling that same day, the day Jesus rose from the dead, to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Pause. Two men, followers of Christ, even disciples, not of the inner circle of the 12, but disciples. And they were expecting Jesus to do certain things. And now that he had died, they were sadly disappointed, is the word. Are there times, be honest with yourself, when you feel disappointed with what Jesus does or doesn't do? And maybe after your hard praying in your prayer closet, circumstances don't come out the way we expected them to. Our loved one did not recover. I did not get the promotion. My girlfriend or boyfriend dumped me. And we ask, what now? Lord, why didn't you help me? We cry out. But you know, that's a very poor translation of what you're really saying. Because what you're really saying here is, Lord, why didn't you do what I asked? And our answer is in Isaiah 55, verse 8. And 9. And the Lord is talking here, and he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that's the reason why many of my prayers were not answered the way I thought they would be. My thoughts were too low, too earthly, too fleshly. And because Jesus didn't respond the way these two men thought he would, or the way they thought he should, they're turning away from the tomb and going to another place. But the good thing, there's two of them, but the good thing is they're still talking about Jesus. And why is that good? Because Scripture says, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. And so Jesus is in their midst as they're walking. And here they are. They're going to a place, no doubt, that's familiar to them, where they feel more comfortable. Because back at the tomb, they're not comfortable. We read on in verse 15 and so forth after that. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what are you talking about? Just to quicken it up a bit here. As you walk along and are sad. And the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which happened here in these days? I chuckle because think about my life and think about your life. Has there ever been a time when you was just so focused on your problems, your troubles, your situation, you weren't even aware Jesus was with you? I've been there. And during those periods of my life, all I could see was my problems. And I had the answers that I wanted Jesus to perform for me. Let me tell you about them, Lord. And so I would pray wrong prayers. Yeah. Jesus is not a genie in a lamp. And he's just sitting in there waiting to come at your beck and call. Certainly wasn't there for my beck and call. That's not what a Savior does. Because I do not know what's good for me. He does. Any Garth Brooks fans here? Garth Brooks had it right when he sang, "Thank God for unanswered prayers." I had a lot of prayers that I am so glad God did not say yes, Ken, to me. Jesus is God, and he knows what's best for me. And when I finally came to realize that truth, things started going along right. Now let's get back to our scripture. Let's see how these men, how they shared with Jesus what transpired that past week. And as they're sharing, their disappointment comes rushing to the surface of their thoughts. In verse 21, here's what they said. They're talking to Jesus now here. We were hoping that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. How many times has that very phrase been in our mind? Lord, I was hoping you fill in the ending for yourself. Some people can't even see the truth when it's right in front of them. They can't even see it when they speak it themselves. Look what these men, this is what these men are telling Jesus now. Verse 22 through 24, and I may paraphrase a little bit. And they said, yeah, and we had women that were with us in our company, and they went to the tomb. And they astonished us because they didn't find his body. And they came back. And they said, We saw angels that said he was alive. And then in verse 24, he talks about the two disciples that ran to the tomb. And there were some with us that ran to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said. Picture in your mind what Jesus might be thinking while these two men just said all that to him. Come on, guys, wake up. Can't you see what you just said? He's not in the tomb because he rose from the dead like he said he would. You see, they not only didn't recognize Jesus on the way, they didn't recognize the truth that was coming out of their own lips. Jesus rose from the dead. Until they sit down for supper. In verse 30, or thereabouts, then their eyes were opened and they knew him. Because Jesus sat down, he took bread, he blessed the bread, he broke it, and he gave it to them, and all of a sudden their eyes are open. And as soon as they seen him and said, "This is the risen Christ," it says he vanished from their eyes. Does your heart burn as Jesus is talking to you? As he opens up the scriptures to you? And then scripture says they rose up that very hour. They had just walked 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And they told Jesus, "Don't go on any further because it's getting nightfall." They run back to Jerusalem and found the 11. And everybody else that was there. You know, we have to be constantly aware, because the world is going to try to blind us from seeing the truth. And as scriptures are shared with us, do not let logic and common sense inhibit you from seeing and understanding the truth. I say don't let logic and common sense, because go back in your mind to the Israelites wandering in the desert. And they murmured against God and against Moses. And what did God do? He sent serpents among them. And it says fiery serpents. And whenever they bit somebody, that person got deadly sick and died. Numbers chapter 21. But God provided a way. In verse 8, he says to Moses, "You make a fiery serpent, a bronze serpent, and put it on a pole. And that everyone who was bitten, when he looks at the serpent, shall live." Now, how many people in those Israelite camp used logic and common sense and said, "That's not going to do anything"? They died. Because looking at the bronze serpent cannot do anything. But God said it will heal you. So it's faith that healed them. It's not logic, it's not reason. It was faith in God. He said it would if I looked on it and believed, and I would be healed. He says to us, "Look on my son Jesus Christ and have faith and believe, and you will be healed. You will have life." In this time, we have to have faith. Christ is risen. He is alive. And these travelers believed because they saw the living Christ. They walked and talked face to face with him. They sat at the table with him. They probably even touched him with hugs and kisses because they were so excited. Is it just as easy to believe with not seeing No, it's not so easy. Go to Gospel John, chapter 20 right now. And we're going to see how easy it is to believe if you don't see. John 20, 19. The same day at evening, the first day of the week, the doors were shut. The disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, he showed his hands and his side, and his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. But in verse 24, it says, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, the inner group of Jesus, with Jesus, was not there. So the other disciples, like good disciples, shared with him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas, "Unless I see the print of his nails and put my finger in there and my hand into his side, I will not believe." You see, it's not easy to believe without seeing. And so when Jesus came again and Thomas was there, he says, "Hey, Thomas, come here. Put your hand into my hands, into my side. And don't be unbelieving, but believing." Did Thomas do that? Did he put his hand, his finger in? No. He immediately worshiped the Lord and called him my Lord, my God. And so the ones that saw Jesus shared with Thomas so that he could believe. We're in the same category as Thomas. We haven't witnessed the risen Christ. Now we have two choices. We can believe because Scripture says it so. Or we cannot believe and die from the bite of the fiery serpent. Believing requires faith. Jesus tells us if we believe by faith and not by sight, he says we're going to be blessed. He said that in verse 29. Thomas, you believe because you saw me, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Is it possible to believe and still have doubts? Yes, it is. We're human. The best way to remove doubt or unbelief is to go to Jesus. There's an example of that. Mark chapter 9. A man had a son that was mute, and the spirit within the son kept thrashing him around, and the disciples couldn't cast him out. And Jesus said to the man, "If you can believe, all things are possible for him who believes." And what did the father of the child? He immediately cries out, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." And it says Jesus healed the child. So being close to Jesus helps our unbelief. Why do we wander away? Well, the path that we're called to walk is difficult. It's not easy. There's ups, there's downs, there's pitfalls, there's peaks of success, and then followed by periods of failure. We can't reach the bar that we set because we set it so high that we come crashing down in discouragement. And we move on to something we're comfortable with. That's why these two were going to Emmaus. And that's exactly what Peter did, if you remember. He failed in keeping his high bar post. Not post, boast. Now you knew what I meant. "I will die, Lord, before I deny you," he says. But Peter found out that following Jesus was a whole lot harder than he thought it would be. And the only path left for Peter that he thought he had was to go back to what he knew best and what he was comfortable with. Fishing. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, sons of Zebedee, and two other unnamed disciples. They're all together. And Peter says, I am going fishing. And immediately they said, we're going with you. And they went out. They got in the boat. And they fished all night. And they caught zilch. See, the problem with drifting away from Jesus is that we draw others to drift away with us. I just read off six other disciples that were with Peter, and they all decided to follow him instead of follow Jesus. Ever notice that whenever you decide to, once you've come to Jesus and you try to go back to that old life, it doesn't work anymore. You're not happy with it. You're not successful with it. Peter and the boys caught nothing all night. And when we fall down and when we give up on ourselves, Jesus doesn't give up on us. He still wants to use us. Further down in the chapter, in verse 12, Jesus is on the shore and he says, hey boys, sees them out in the boat, why don't you come here and get breakfast? Seeing how you caught nothing, try the other side of the boat. When they had ate breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. He said again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now Peter's grieved because this is the third time the Lord said this. And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now Jesus, when he's asking Peter, says, do you agape love me? But Peter can't say that because he's still disappointed with himself. And he feels unworthy of following Christ. And so he says, I phileo you, Lord. I love you like a brother. And then again in 16, Jesus says, do you agape me? Same answer, I phileo you, Lord. And in the 17th verse, when Jesus says, do you love me? He uses the word phileo when he's talking to Peter. And that whole exchange shows us Jesus is willing to use us right where we are at if we are willing to be used by him. He will use us. So even if we only phileo love Jesus, he will use us. And I'll tell you what, that will change to agape later on. Now, if we back up a bit, when Peter was first called by Jesus, and Jesus, it says, walked by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Peter and Andrew. And he said to them two words. He looked at them and said, follow me. And Peter followed him. And he had good days. and he had bad days. The sun wasn't always shining. Storms came. They went. Till the day came that Peter fell down so hard, he thought he was broken and he could never be used again. And it was during that time that Peter had followed Jesus at a distance, if you remember, from the garden of Gethsemane. Peter followed Jesus at a distance. He wasn't next to him anymore. But here in John 21, it tells us that Jesus is not letting Peter go. And he tells him, your death is going to give glory to God. And once again, he says to Peter, at this time on the shore, when Peter is at his lowest, follow me. In coming to the end of our little walk on this path with Jesus, gives us one final lesson. And this can be important to most people. John 21, verse 20 says, Peter turning around, he's following Jesus now with him, and he sees the disciple Jesus loved, John. And Peter sees him and says, Jesus, what about this guy? And Jesus says, what about that guy? What if I will him to live until I come? What's that to you? I bet he points his finger. He says, you follow me. You see, our walk with Christ is alone. Yeah, we have a spouse sometimes. We have brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. But our walk is alone with Christ. An individual calling to go and be his disciple. The path is narrow because only one person can walk on it. Jesus can walk on it because he's spirit. So you're walking hand in hand with Christ, but your spouse has to walk hand in hand in Christ without you. And by doing that, both of you become one to walk hand in hand with Christ. So in this time of death and resurrection and then ascension, keep in mind, Jesus is not dead. He's alive. And wherever two or more people are, he's with you. And so talk to him. Believe. Don't be unbelieving. At the end of the road is eternal life. That Christ wants everyone to have. Lord, as we walk this path with you, help our unbelief. We don't need to see miracles. We don't need to see you physically, although you may show yourself to us. And you may perform miracles, and you do perform miracles. We believe because you are the Christ and you did rise from the dead. God's word is the truth, and it tells us that. So be with us now on this journey as the time of your return is coming. It is very near. Nothing needs to happen for you to show up and and rapture all the believers off the earth. And Lord, we pray for that to happen. Quickly, Lord, come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes.